right. Thank you very much. Let's get our Bibles out and turn to Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. Anybody need a worksheet that didn't get one? Slip your hand up. Slip your hand up. While you're doing that, Miss Janet Reese asked if we would pray for a gal by the name of Tanya Watkins. And she's a nurse, apparently, that works very closely with Tolly, you know, in the nursing home. And last week, her house was burned out. And Tanya Watkins, she just kind of just asked if we would pray. She said she's just so sweet with Tolly and just felt so bad. Just asked if we would pray for them and their family at this particular time. Those who were out serving elsewhere this morning, I made mention of our update on the expansion fund. And I'll say it once again, we have at this point paid an extra $44,500 on the principal, which has saved us $73,000, almost $400 on interest. So that means that we're $118,000 ahead. That's pretty good. And if you talk about the payoff date, we've actually now, we're 1 year ahead in paying off the mortgage. So I appreciate it. I appreciate your faithfulness and your willingness to give and those kind of things. Just, but I tell you what, the sooner we get that done, the sooner we can move on to some other things. You know, now, I'm not here just to spend your money, but what I'm saying is, you know, you get some things done, and be honest with you, the Lord's not done with us. You know, the Lord's not finished with us. And building isn't the end of all things. I understand that, but it takes things like that to make the ministry work. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your faithfulness and your faithfulness to the Lord on those things. Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31. We are come to a place. We started this last week, so some of the answers are already there. And I wanted to finish these things up here. Of course, Jacob got himself in trouble because he kind of got the birthright, and then he kind of got stuck in there and got the blessing. He would have got the blessing anyway, but he did it in such a way that he made his brother Esau pretty upset. And he had to hightail it out of town. And he goes up to his mama's folks, and he gets right there, and as soon as he walks into the place, he sees this gal by the name of Rachel, and he says, "Boy, is she pretty." And he says, "That's the one I want." And so he goes in, he talks to Laban, and I think Laban knew who his granddaddy was, who his daddy was, who his granddaddy was. In fact, remember when Laban was there when they went and got his mother, okay? And so what did they do? Eliezer, Abraham's servant, told them how God had put a blessing on Abraham, and God's going to bless those that bless him and curse those that curse them, and how God was going to make him a great nation, and how he had already blessed Isaac, and how much Isaac was worth, so to speak. And then when Jacob shows up, I think he's thinking, well, hey, here comes my retirement. I'm going to get my daughter. He kind of likes Rachel. I'll get her married off to Jacob, and I'll be in on this thing myself. And so he gets him. So he not only gets Rachel, but he pulls a fast one over on Jacob and says, the night of the wedding, instead of giving him Rachel, he gives him Leah. And her eyes were pretty, but that's about all he could say about Leah. But he got the wrong one. Of course, now Jacob, be honest with you, he could have just taken Rachel and hightailed out of town, but he didn't. He worked another 7 years for Rachel. And then he worked another 6 years after that. And we talked about all the sheep and the speckled and all this stuff. And God has blessed Jacob. And even Laban said, "God has blessed me because of you, Jacob." But Laban's trying to milk this thing for all it's worth. And Jacob decides this is not good. And finally, God tells Jacob it's time to leave. And so Jacob is going to pack up the family and leave. And that's kind of where we are in Genesis chapter 31, verse number 13. Let me read. God is speaking. He says, "I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred." And you got the next little. I'm not going to spend a long time because we talked about it last time. But Rachel and Leah answered, he said, you know what? Laban, our daddy, he basically sold us down the river. He didn't care about us. He was just looking out to make a buck. In fact, everything he gets really belongs to us because he sold us to get you. And so they said, let's go ahead and get out of town. And so it says here that Jacob rose up, verse 17, and set his sons and his wives and camels and cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, cattle of his getting which he had gotten, and put to Damaram, and to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Verse 19. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. We'll talk about that tonight. And Jacob stole away, kind of snuck out of town, unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. He didn't tell him he was leaving. He just headed out of town. So he fled with all that he had. He rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in Mount Gilead. And so I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to kind of talk about it a little bit real quick as we go along. And we're going to do this family and faith issues part two. Listen, when you're dealing with family, it is so complicated sometimes because you got feelings, you got emotions, you got loyalties, and all these things. And it makes it tough. If truth is relative, it's tough if you go on feelings. Now, I know we're emotional people. We have, our lives are like that, but I want you to understand something. There's truth, and there's righteousness, as not to be smug about it, but the fact is we need to do right because it's right to do. Trust God, do right, and we'll see how this works. Family and faith issues, and part two. Father, we thank you again for your blessings tonight, and Lord, there's some tough things here, and Lord, I pray that you'll bless me, help me to be a blessing to these dear folks, and Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move and give each one of us what we need. Last week I got finished this message, and I kind of thought, well, that was kind of not really doing what I needed it to do. And yet I had a lot of folks come and say, that's what I needed, that's what I needed, that's what I needed, because I had some things coming up, because things in my life, this is what I needed. And so, Lord, I appreciate that. Lord, once again, we ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we'll give the praise for it all in Christ's name. Amen. On our paper, number one from last week, God will give us direction if we wait. Jacob could have left town a long time ago, but he didn't. And he kind of hung around. And finally God says, okay, it's time to go. And I think that's true. To be honest with you, I felt like I needed to make a move to come from Westminster up here, you know, for several years. And the fact is, I went out and candidated a couple places, and they liked me. But it's just like, I could have let myself say, well, time for me to be a preacher. Time for me to have my own church. I better go ahead and go ahead and take it. But, yet I didn't have a peace about it. So we'll start to rationalize and figure out what we're supposed to do. No, God will let you know. So how do you know when he lets me know? He knows how to let you know. He knows how to let you know. I'm not saying you won't have a little fear and trembling and trepidation when you actually do what God calls you to do. I had a little bit. That's another whole story. You know that story. But the fact is, God will let you know when it's time. God will give you direction. The problem is we need to wait on him. Letter B, we learned that we do not own our family. That whole little point there was this. Laban is trying to control everything. Your family is God's gift to you. We are to be stewards of our family. We don't own our family. I've seen some families where I think I mentioned where we got some grandparents someplace who said, you know what, these are all my grandkids, so I deserve the right to tell you what you're going to do with your kids. No, you don't. In fact, you're not careful. Sometimes they want to override what God says in His book. We need to be do right. Number two, you get in the midst of some things, some family issues, and sometimes it's time to move on. There's times when you have to move on. Now, I hate to say this, but don't just run out of town because you don't like what your family's doing. I'm not saying that. But sometimes there comes to a point where God says it's time to to make a move. You need to do something. It might not be easy. But it says that Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives, and off they went. They had to leave town. Sometimes you have to make a move. Number three, do not expect your family to always understand. When you make a move and God tells you to do something, we talked about that last week. I talked about the fact that when I was called into the ministry, called to go to seminary, I had struggled over this. My wife and I, she knew that from before we were married, I talked about that. And I was just struggling with the whole thing. When I say struggled, I felt like it, but I didn't feel like it, I could do it and so forth. And the fact is, finally, God made it very clear. And I think that I didn't come up here any too late. I think God had prepared me all along to do what needed to be done when I got here. Now, I didn't have a whole lot more than what I needed to do and needed to know, but I knew what I needed to know, and he guided me along the way, step by step, and taught me as I went as well. And so what I needed to know was to trust him. That was really what I needed to know. And then he'll tell me each step as we go along. Now, that was in my heart. When I went home and told my parents, I'm going to leave town, and I don't know whether I'm going to be able to afford to come back and visit. I mean, I was fine with it because I'd already settled that in my heart. But boy, that was a dump on them. Thinking about the grandkids and all this stuff. We had two kids at that time, and who knows where we're going to end. It was hard. And I understand that. But folks, we also got to remember that we don't own our kids. It's hard sometimes. I understand. And don't expect your family to always understand what God is doing in your heart. So actually, God tells Laban, if you know the story, God came to Laban, verse 24, and told him, take heed, put your guard on yourself, watch what you're planning to do, pay close attention to stop yourself. Don't you go talking to Jacob, good or bad. Just leave him alone. And of course, Laban said, well, okay, I'll leave him alone. But he doesn't. He packs up his crowd and goes chasing them. 7 days worth, he chases them down. So what's Laban's response? Laban wouldn't let it go. So he went and he told Jacob, going on here. And watch what he says here. He says, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried, away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Which he didn't do that. But Laban is saying to Jacob, you basically came in here and a bunch of marauders and took out my girls and my family and my grandkids. What in the matter? What's with you? Well, wait a minute. If he's just a businessman, he sold his daughters. As parents, we give away. When we do weddings, the bride comes down with the father and we say, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? Her mother and I. And he takes her hand, he puts her hand into the hand of the groom. We are given away. We're supposed to leave father and mother and cleave to one another as husband and wife. That's the way it works. It's not going to work well if we don't do that. Folks, if we're not careful, well, hang on. Don't go back to mom and dad all the time. Listen, don't go back to mom and dad and complain about the one you just got married to. You're not doing yourself or anybody else any extra favors. Make sure you marry the right one and stay close and cling to that one that God has given you to spend your life with. Make sure that's a tight, tight relationship. Letter D, we found out, expect family to try to appeal to your sense of responsibility and loyalty. Boy, they're going to pour it on thick. Laban tries to cover up his hurt and display what, and he says, listen, wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs, with tabard, with harp, and hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? I would have given a big party for you to go. Yeah. Now, you would have tried to stop him. Letter E, God will give you discernment if you seek his understanding. There we go, back in Proverbs 3. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, check in with headquarters. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, if we don't in all our ways acknowledge him, don't expect him to direct your paths. But if he's directing your paths, allow him to direct your path. And if somebody comes in contrary to God's path, it's not the right path. Their path is not the right path. God's path is the right path. Whether somebody else comes, even if it's family. Now, don't be mean and nasty about it. But it's more important for us to stick with the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Now, Laban's heart there under F is revealed. And those that love you may try to threaten you. And here's our verses where we're coming up here to the end here. Thou hast now, Laban says, thou hast now done foolishly in so in doing. You silly, silly little boy. You don't know who you're dealing with here. It says, it is in the power, and that word power there is the word El. It says, I have God, like I'm God. El means God. As if I'm God, I'm the Almighty. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. You know, if they can't get their way by schmoozing you, they'll try to get their way by threatening you. If they can't get your way by pleading with you, they'll try to get their way by being angry with you and threatening and intimidating. That has nothing to do with truth. You deal with truth no matter what the other mess is that's trying to go on. And you know it's hard when it's family. Especially if it's parents. Somebody you're supposed to respect and honor, and that's hard. But sometimes you've got to make a move. Sometimes you've got to do what God has called you to do, no matter what they say. Letter G, sometimes people will attempt to watch, discredit your spirituality and your ability to discern God's will. All of a sudden, listen, he tries to turn the table. He says, verse 30, now though thou wouldst needs be gone because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? He says, you think you're so spiritual. You want to get out of here, get back to your father's house. Again, I think he's going back to that idea that Isaac, you know, and Abraham, they're God's man. And so Jacob wants to go back there. And I think there's a certain amount of jealousy because Laban realized that he was being blessed because he was with Jacob. Well, why won't God bless me just for me? You see what I'm saying? And so, there's plenty of reason for it, but he was being blessed because he was with Jacob. And so now he's kind of like, almost like he's a little bit envious. Oh, you guys think you're so hotsy-totsy. You think you're so great. You think you're so righteous. You think you're so all God and righteous here. He said, listen, you want to come, and yet you take my gods. You aren't any better than we are. And it's funny how all these things, all these emotions, and all the accusations start to come up. And if you think you're so great and so godly and you want to get home to your holy daddy, then why'd you take my God? And Laban, in the heat of the passion, inadvertently reveals the true nature of his faith. What did he say? Verse 30 here. He says, now thou wouldst needs be gone because thou hast sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen, what's the next word? My gods. He just let it out. In a multitude of words, or one if not sin, he just told on himself. You know what God, you know why God's blessing him? Because of Jacob, in spite of the fact that God was not Laban's God. Laban he reveals his true nature and calls him his God. Now, number four, this is new. Hope you kind of catch the story, get in your hand here, in your heart. I don't want to spend all that time with it tonight. Number four, sometimes you need to have a straight, honest conversation. Sometimes you need to have a straight, honest conversation. Conversation. Now, I don't think Jacob does it exactly the way you should do it. It's obvious he's getting kind of upset and his dander's getting up, as the old saying goes. I've told our school teachers, you don't have to yell and scream. You have the authority to do it. Tell them what to do. And if there's a certain make a certain consequence if they're not doing it right. And you have my backing. I remember being a school teacher in a public school, and I had some kid. I mean, I was like my first year teaching, and I think it was one of the seventh grader, eighth graders, and they just stood right in front of the room, and I'll tell you what, they let me have what for. And you can't, what is this? Now, when I went to school, which was only about 4 years earlier, now that was in middle school, so it had been 8 years in middle school since I've been in middle school, but I had gone to school in that exact same school. I was teaching across the hall from teachers that I had. And I knew you don't get away with that kind of stuff. And so I said, all right, let's go down to the principal's office. We went down to the principal's office. I told the principal what was going on. And he said, he told the student, thank you very much. You can go back to class. And he says, is that all there was? I said, well, yeah, but that's not, if that's all you have, consider yourself lucky. I mean, that kid just basically took all my credibility and all my authority and threw it right out the window with those few words in front of the entire class. And they wonder why they have trouble with the kids. Now, my point is this. You know what happens is, and I started hearing it all over the school, teachers yelling, trying to out-yell, out-intimidate, out-threaten the kids so that they'll be what they need to be. And you know what the kids realized? They had the upper hand. It made it sound like the parents were, teachers were kind of running scared. Now, when I told our teachers, listen, you've got my backing. Now, don't do something stupid. Don't go abuse the kids or anything like. Don't, you know? But if this is the rule, this is the you know the way you deal with it. That's what we do. We're gonna do so out of love. Train a child in the ways to go. When he's old, should not be he should not depart from it. We're not trying to make soldiers, you know. In fact, the little kids, though, they kind of enjoy that. You know, they kind of walk down the hallway like little soldiers. But no, we're not trying. This isn't a military school. We're here to get to train their heart. But on the other hand, you know, we don't have to yell and scream to get them to do it. If you don't want to abide by the rules, you don't have to come to church. I do a school here. You don't have to come to school here. It's a privilege. We want you here. And yes, we don't throw anybody out just because they made a few mistakes. We all make mistakes. That's part of the training. They're children. Foolishness bow in the heart of the child. You love them and train them in the right direction. But if you have no authority, you can't do that. It's very difficult. Now, here's my point. There are times when you are being threatened, if you will, from somebody that's kind of got authority over you. Like Laban kind of has authority over, he did, over his daughter Rachel. And all of a sudden, we feel threatened. And we can get intimidated. And when we get intimidated, well, we start getting defensive. And when we get defensive, sometimes we get offensive. We start fighting back before we hardly even get attacked. Have you ever had? I know they're going to say this, and when they say, I'm not going to. Ooh, and you know, have you ever had one of those conversations in your own head? I have those. I'm in the car. I think, oh my soul, here we go. I'm going to come, and I know they're going to say this. I'm going to have to say this. And, okay. And I got to, and you know, and to be honest, I go through all this thinking, calm down, Sterling. I even let it come out of my mouth, bounce off the windshield so I can hear it. Well, that's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? Because we get all worked up. And here, again, if we're not careful, we'll get all worked up and the emotions will get into the situation and we'll end up doing something we shouldn't have done. Now, as soon as we do something we shouldn't have done, now we have now crossed over into the same realm as that person who's attacking us. And maybe they're not really attacking, but we feel attacked. I mentioned this last week. When I told my dad we were going off to college, and he just couldn't believe it. I mean, he just jumped all over me. It was awful. For weeks, it was just awful. And they just couldn't believe what I was doing. I could have thought, well, what's the matter with him? I know God wants me to do this. What's his problem? Well, God didn't call him. He called me. God didn't give him the grace for it. He gave me the grace for it. At that point, I'm not even sure he was saved. If he was saved, it was just barely, you know what I mean? That's all he had, hadn't had a chance to grow. And why was he so upset about me leaving? He wanted me to be there. Isn't that right? Put yourself in their shoes. Why are they upset? Because they want you. You only hurt the one you love. You ever hear that old song? It's like I said this morning, and down at Bob Evans, it says we treat strangers as friends and friends as family. But we treat strangers as friends and friends as family as dirt. Why? Because we expect something out of that family member. We have expectations. When those expectations aren't met, we get angry because we feel like something's been stolen from us. We feel hurt because we thought they were going to support us. And we don't understand. Well, remember, the person who's jumping on your back the most may simply want you around and doesn't want to lose you. Well, if you don't want to lose me, then why are you pushing me away? Because they don't understand. They're just struggling, trying to figure it all out. So sometimes we have to be simply honest in the conversation. Look at verse 31. And I'm on number 4. And Jacob answered and said to Laban. Laban said, you ran out of town and took everybody. Why? Because I was afraid. For I said, peradventure, thou wouldst take by force my daughters from me. He said, I felt like I needed to get out of town because you have not decided that they're my wives. You decided they're still your daughters. You think you still own them. And he was honest. I wouldn't put it past you to say, you know what? They're mine. You can leave town, but the girls are staying, the kids are staying here. Now that would have been wrong. But Jacob said, I was getting a little bit weary here. Basically, he said, I left because I can't trust you to keep your word. And Jacob says, I don't care about your gods. Look at verse 32. He says, with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. He said, if you find anything that belongs to you, you take it. I don't want it. I'm not here trying to steal and plunder you. I'm not here to spoil you like I came into town and took over the town. He says, I'm just trying to get out of town with what's mine. While the getting is good, be honest with you. If you find it, take it. I don't want it. And Laban went into Jacob's tent. Of course, he thought Jacob was the one who took it. And into Leah's tent. And into the two maidservants' tents. But he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in a camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but he found them not. And, not trying to be indiscreet here, but this is the word of God. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. He says, well, it's my time of the month, and I don't want to get up. Be okay if I just stay right here. So he looked and he couldn't find it. Now, let me say this. We don't really know why she took those images. We don't know. Now, she grew up with false gods and still had a certain faith in them, maybe. She thought they were worth something, was taking them because daddy had taken what belonged to them and she was going to sell them and try to, I don't know, maybe. Maybe she wanted to teach her father that his gods were nothing and couldn't even take care of themselves, much less take care of him, if he needed to realize that Jehovah is the one true God. So listen, if you can steal a God, how big a God is he? Now, we don't know why she took them. And since we don't know, apparently, it doesn't matter. That's not part of the story. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is she took the gods. The point of the story is revealed who Laban was. That's the point of that little part of the story. If God wanted us to know why, I think he would have told us. So leave it alone. So we don't know, but he took it. And in the midst of all that, I think? I think Laban revealed himself, and I would think this confirmed to Jacob it was the right thing to do. Again, I, I, when I got ready to go out to Howells Anderson there, we had I had a particular family member come into my office one day and just rain me out because I was going to do that. How dare I do this to the family? I mean, doing anything to the family. And this person proceeded to, I mean, just lay it out and call me names and things that I wouldn't say here in polite public. I mean, just really, just how dare you? The fact is, it was all over again. This person wanted my family there. That's why they were upset. Now, the way that person dealt with that, again, I go back to Galatians 5, we have the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. What I saw was the works of the flesh. What does that mean? It wasn't the Spirit leading this person. Even though they said, I had a dream and you're not supposed to go. And they did. I had a dream and you're not supposed to go. I don't know where the dream came from, but you're still living in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Now, that person came to me probably, 10, 12, 15 years later. And in the midst of a conversation, they looked me square in the eye and they said, I know, you were right. You were supposed to go. You were right. But I just didn't want you to go. Well, I said, and the thing is, we have to think about that. Think about that. Well, they did wrong. Think past that. What did the Lord do when he was put on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, and you say, well, why are they doing this? Because they love you in their own way, in a selfish way maybe, but they care about you. I don't have to bring that up. And go, I was right. No, I don't need to do that. Am I supposed to love them the way they're supposed to? I'm supposed to love them. Number 5. Now, Jacob's trying to explain what he's doing. Now, remember, he came. Jacob has been a mess in his years. I mean, he really has been a mess over the years. But when it came to Laban, he basically abided by the rules. Number 5, make sure your life speaks for itself. Make sure your life speaks for itself. If your life will speak for itself, that is all the argument that we're going to need down the road. I'll be honest with you. My dad hated the fact, again, he got saved later, but he hated the fact that I went off to college. But I believe because I went off to college and he heard the stories about how God took care of us, and all you know the stories, I think it's one of the reasons why he came to know Christ. In fact, because of what he saw, how God took care of us, moment by moment, out there when we were in college, when we got ready to come up here, I remember the conversation. It kind of went the same way. Even though he was saved by then, he got upset because I can't believe Sterling's going to leave. And here I am, I'm 70 years old, and he's going to up and leave me. Why would he do it? He was just upset. He didn't want his son to take his four grandkids and head out of town. And he was upset, and he just couldn't stand it. But the fact is, when we sat down and talked this time, that time, in about 45 minutes, he went from, to walking out to the secretary and said, let's get some comps on this fellow in my boy's house. We're going to get this sold and get some listings in Dover. We're going to buy this boy a house. Now, that wasn't my dad speaking. That was the Holy Spirit speaking. Because my dad would say, you're only an hour away, a little less than an hour. Go up and try it out for a while and see if it's going to work. You never did this before anyway. You think you go up there and pastor. Let's just see. Tell Dr. Belcher, hang on to your job down there as music director at Open Door. Don't do anything crazy. Let's wait. That's what my dad was. And you know what? There's a lot of sense to that. But you know what? It's like he said, well, Sterling, I've seen God take care of you. And I don't know how I don't know why. But somehow it always works. So, all right. And you know, he brought us up here and he had that Suburban that time. Remember, they had a great big Suburban. And we'd come up here and he'd load us up and we'd come around. We were looking at houses because he's a real estate man. Looking at houses. Now, he could have been, I really don't think there's anything here. You know, he could have. He didn't. He had a good attitude. We'd be up here, and then he'd take us all out to dinner. He'd pay. And we're looking for a house. It was almost like, my son's going to be a Baptist preacher. This is great. I'm serious. But I think one of the reasons was because there was times, honestly, crazy, there was times in my life when I said, I can't, Dad, because this is what God wants me to do. I love you, but I can't. I must do so-and-so. And because, I'm not patting myself back, all I did was obey God. That's nothing to be praiseworthy of. That's our reasonable service. But God, now that one, you can praise Him because He's faithful and honors His promise. And I think God saw that. I think my father saw that. I think our life needs to speak for itself. Verse 36, and Jacob was wroth, which I don't think is a good way to do this, and chode with Laban. I mean, he's just kind of going right at it. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, Jacob said, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Sound like the Dukes of Hazzard, not pursued. Anyway, why are you pursuing after me so hot? Let her be. Hang on, watch. Jacob basically records, he says, I'm going to let my record speak for itself. What's the first one? Let it be. Be trustworthy. Be trustworthy. I mentioned this morning in the message. Our family see our lives. You want your family to get saved? Live like a Christian should. You want your family to trust you and obey you and trust God, trust the Word of God. You trust the Word of God. You live by it. Let them see God bless you because you've been obedient to the Word of God. If you can't be obedient, why in the world are we expecting them to be? If our salvation, our faith in Christ doesn't change who we are, then why should they bother? You know what they see? Rules and somebody milking them for every dollar they've got. And so if that's the way Christians are and they live like that, I don't care. They don't have anything. They don't have anything that I don't have. So why? I get to sleep in on Sunday morning. I can go hunting on Sunday. I don't have to go to church. I can do whatever I want. Make sure your testimony speaks for itself. And one of those is trustworthy. Again, my dad, just before I was born, there was a split in the little church that I grew up in. One of the guys, and we were all related, you know, one of those little churches, everybody's related to everybody else, you know. Everybody called, the gal we named my daughter Esther after was Aunt Esther. Now, she actually was my father's aunt. But everybody else called her Aunt Esther, too, whether she was their aunt or not, because that's what you do. She was aunt for most of them, so everybody else called her Aunt Esther, too. That's what you called her. And so we had those who knew that they were saved and those who didn't know that they were saved. They thought it was foolish. We had a guy in the 50s. He had come back from Korea, I guess it was. He had been wounded, ended up in a military hospital. A chaplain led him to the Lord. He comes back to our little dead church and says, you know what? You're not saved by works, you're saved by grace. Not a works, as any man should boast. But the fact is, the way it was done in such a way, and I think there was they received it in the wrong way too. He basically came back and what my grandfather, my father's father, had been teaching Sunday school since he was 12. One day the teacher didn't show up and they said, Charlie, talk to the boys and tell them something. And he became the Sunday school teacher. He taught for 70 years. He wasn't saved till he was 90. But he taught Sunday school for 70 years. And so anyway, he comes back and says, you're saved by grace, not by works. Well, that's basically telling my grandfather and all those folks who are leader, you've been lying to us all these years. Or you're stupid or whatever, but it didn't go over well. And there was a big split. And I grew up on the wrong side of the split. Now, there were some folks who were on the right side of the split, and they were saved. But here, I hate to say this, they were forever coming to Dad looking for freebies. If they were going to sell their house, they wanted dad to do it and not charge them. Now, he probably wouldn't have charged them. When it got down to the settlement, he probably would have said, well, you know what, let's just mark us off and I'll take care of this. And you just take care of the actual fees that otherwise, but my time I'll get. I'm sure he would have. But they didn't wait for that. You know, you are going to give us a break, right? And there were some things that they did were a little bit. And you know what? My dad said, listen, those people say they know for sure they're going to heaven. If they know that they're going to heaven, then I'm going to heaven. Because my father was as honest as the day is long. He was a good, faithful man, but unsaved for many years. Make sure your testimony is going to carry weight if you're faithful to the Lord. They may not believe it. They may not understand it. They might get angry and upset. They may threaten you. All those things because you're following the Lord. But I'll guarantee, listen, the promise is you follow God. He keeps his promises. In the end, God will show who he is and what he is, and they will see it. And that's what we need to see. God's faithfulness and being faithful. We need to be trustworthy. Verse 37. He says, whereas thou hast searched, this is Jacob speaking to Laban, whereas thou searched all my stuff, what hast thou found in all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren, thy brethren, they may judge betwixt us both. In other words, I haven't stolen anything. Did you find anything? You looked around. Now, he shouldn't have gotten offensive like this, but he did. He said, but he did have a testimony. I haven't stolen anything. That's pretty good for Jacob. I haven't stolen anything. Let her see. Be hardworking and faithful. Hardworking and faithful, not a slacker. Verse 38 says, this 20 years have I been with thee, thy ewes, your lambs, and they, she goats, have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. In other words, I didn't eat on your bill. I pay for my own food. I wasn't taking stuff here. I wasn't running up what's the word I'm looking for? A tab, yeah. On your tab. I didn't do that. I've worked hard for you, and you have been blessed under my watch. Kids, when I turned 15, I decided I wanted a job. I was 16. I was assuming to be 16, but I turned 15, wanted a job. And I'm going to tell you where I went the first time. It's another whole story. But there was a drugstore out there, and I knocked on the door, and I asked if they needed somebody to work. And he needed somebody just to stock the shelves and so forth and so on. I could ride my bike out there and work. And I said, now, there's one thing. And he wasn't looking for work. I came and asked for a job. And I said, I really like to work here. I think it would be a good place for me to work. I said, there's one thing. And if it means I can't work here, that's okay. I remember saying it over and over. If it means I can't work here, that's okay. But I'd like to work here. I can't work on Sunday. Now, I'll work every Friday night. Who wants to work Friday night? I'll work every Friday night. I'll work every Saturday night. But I won't work Sunday. Well, I guess if it's a promise, I mean, if it's a problem, the last, you know, emergency, you'll come. And I said, no. He was Jewish. He didn't care. In fact, he ate ham on his matzah bread during Passover. So he didn't really care about any of this stuff. On Saturday nights, he'd get sausage on the pizza that we eat on Saturday nights. But anyway, Saturday night, you know, the Sabbath and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I just said, if it means I can't work, that's okay. But I'd be glad to do it. I'll work hard for you. Well, we'll just give it a shot. Well, it wasn't but a few weeks. And he called up on Saturday night and said, I need somebody to work tomorrow morning. And I said, well, I go to church on Sunday. Well, I know. But I said, Doc, I said, if I do that once, we'll do it again. You know that. I said, I'm sorry. Now, that means I can't work there anymore. That's okay. That's all right. But I just can't. All right, well, I got one more person to call. So he calls somebody else, and he called back and said, I can't find it. Just this one time, I need somebody to come in here and watch the register for me. I said, I just can't. I'm so sorry. I just can't. Now, the job that I got was down in the basement, and they had cut drains because the water was running down this old building. It was damp and it was musty, and I was cutting up the old cardboard boxes and all this stuff and putting in the dumpster, and that was my job to do that kind of stuff. And the guy that was there, he was moved upstairs, and he was working behind the counter and all kinds of stuff. He had a nice clean job. Within about a year and a half, He put that guy back down in the basement, and I was put upstairs. And that guy wasn't a bad guy. He hadn't stolen anything or anything. We said, what are you saying? I'm just saying, you let God take care of promoting you. You do right by God. You do right by Him, but you know what? He knew that he wasn't a harder worker. And I didn't give him any mouth, didn't give him any lip. I showed up on time. I worked hard. It was time to go. Sometimes stayed later. And yet God blessed that because you do right. Our Christian kids should be the best workers in this area. I mean, this whole county. We ought to be. We ought to have a good testimony. Hardworking and faithful. Letter D, be honest and responsible. I'm talking about testimony. You want to be able to work with, listen, when your weight, if you want your words to carry weight with your family, you've got to be a Christian. And in their eyes, this is what we're talking about. Honest, trustworthy, hardworking, responsible. Letter D, the honest and responsible. Look at verse 39. Look what Jacob said. That which was torn of the beast, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day, by the day the drought consumed me, and the frost the night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. What's he saying? I took care of your sheep. If somebody came and came looking for them, they cried and steal, I was the one that defended it. If somebody ended up getting killed, I took the loss. I didn't pass it on to you. I took the responsibility. I took care of your sheep, and I've taken all the loss. Anything that's occurred under my watch, I have taken responsibility. By the way, take responsibility for yourself at the very least. But he says, I'm taking responsibility for things that are part of my job. I'll tell you what, it is hard to find good workers these days. It is hard. But it's not hard to be the cream of the crop. Show up on time. Do right with a good attitude. Work hard while you're there. Don't try to leave early. Don't stand there and talk on the phone. Don't ask for another drink, another break, and all this. Do work hard. Do right, and God will bless it. And you'll have a testimony. When you're trying to lead that boss to the Lord or some worker, they're going to say there's something different about that person. Letter E. Be easy to work with, watch, and live peaceably with all men. It's our testimony. Listen, a lot of our family issues can be seen on our side because we have not been living our testimony. We should. Now, they may come and jump all over you, but listen, you've been living right. They can't argue with that. Verse 41. This is, again, Jacob. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. You've been pulling things over on me all these years. First you say it's this, well, let's try a little bit here, this and that. And so, was it right? No. Jacob, he kept his job. He was still being responsible. He was still being hardworking. Listen, well, they don't treat me right, so why should I treat them right? Because God said so. Because it's our testimony. Well, I don't think that's fair. Give it to him who judges righteously. When we come out the other side, you'll be surprised what God will do. Letter F. Trust God to judge righteously. Trust God to judge righteously. Verse 42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. But God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and have rebuked thee yesterday night. What was that? What was he talking about? God told you, let me go and leave me alone. Why? Because I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. In fact, it says, the fear of Isaac. He said, you know what? You didn't want my daddy on your back, did you? Listen, God said it's going to bless them to bless those that bless him and curse those that curse him. You know what? Laban's really on the edge there of cursing Jacob and receiving the curse. Only by God's grace, Jacob is saying, do I have what I have? And if it wasn't for the grace of God, you would have stolen me blind. That's what he's saying to Laban. Letter G, keep your testimony clean. Keep your testimony clean. You know what? You don't need to get caught with some of the goods in your pocket one time. You need to be caught in a lie one time to lose your credibility with somebody. All you need to do is do something kind of on the sly one time and lose your credibility. Number six, Laban's heart speaks for itself. Laban's heart speaks for itself. Verse 43, and Laban answered all this and said unto Jacob, look, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children which they have borne? Everything he did that he can claim was love, it was all about selfishness. He says, these are mine. Not anymore. Again, I've heard grandparents say things like, these are my grandchildren, so I have every right to decide what happens in their lives. No, you don't. You had your kids. You can help, offer your services, that's up to you. But they're not your kids. Number seven. Now we're dealing with family. Now I'll clarify this statement. Be willing to compromise. Be willing to compromise. Don't compromise truth. Don't compromise righteousness. But sometimes we need to just deal. Sometimes there's not a thing you can do that's really perfect. I wish it was all come out just the way I want it to be. Sometimes it just doesn't. Sometimes just look at verse 44. Now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones, and they took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it that. Jager Shadha Dutha. That's pretty good. I don't know if that was supposed to sound, but there it is. Now that's Chaldean for a heap of the testimony. So we've got a pile of rocks up here to remind us. But Jacob called it Galeed, which is Hebrew for a heap of testimony. Where's Laban getting his thinking? The Chaldeans, the world. Jacob says, well, okay, it's a heap of testimony, but we're going to stick with the Hebrews. Verse 48, and Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee. This day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed and Mitzpah, which means a watchtower. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent from one another. And Laban says, it looks like neither one of us can be trusted. So let's just make a deal here. You stay on that side, I'll stay over here. He says, I don't know if we can't be both trusted. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. But it's not going to solve the issue. So let's just let it go. Let her see or be whatever it is there for you. Trust God to make things right. He says, God, Mitzpah, God's going to watch it. And God will. God will. He says, thou shalt afflict my daughters if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters. No man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. I think so many times we forget that God sees. I gave that message a few months ago maybe. God sees. If he's right, if he's wrong. God sees. God knows. Give it to him who judges righteously. Let me finish out the scripture. Verse 51. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap and behold this pillar which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be witness and this pillar be witness that I will not pass over this heap to thee and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. And the God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of the Father judge betwixt us. And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mountain, called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed, returned to his place. And Jacob kept on going. Now, let me say this. I know it's late. This is not a perfect ending. This is not the perfect ending we all want. But that may not be our choice to make. Sometimes we must simply work with the life that is in our path. Do right, trust God to keep His promises, to take care of us and to bless us as we trust and obey Him. God will keep His promises to you. But you can't force somebody else to get under the ownership of God. Working with family can be one of the most difficult and traumatic events in our lives. There are feelings and emotions and relationships involved. We need to trust God and do right. That's all we can do is do right on our side. Our side. The most important relationship you have is your relationship with God. Make sure you have the clear leading of God before you do something as drastic as allow a family relationship to be broken because of something you think you should be doing. You know what I'm saying? Don't go off half-cocked. But if you have to choose doing right and doing wrong, you do right. No matter who's on the other side of the issue. Do it lovingly, but whoever's on the other side of the issue. Listen, how do I know if it's God's will? Well, does it agree with the principles and the commands of God's word? And if you cannot tell for sure and you're still unsure, then apparently God has not made it clear and you should stay where you are. Unless to do so be clearly sin, then you know. This is tough. As a matter of faith, the faith is saying, I've got all these circumstances, emotions and feelings and family and friendships and relationships and all this stuff is coming at me. What do I do? Right. And trust God. And leave it in the hands of Him who judges righteously. But make sure that you have done right. And if you haven't done right, doesn't matter how much wrong the other person has done, if you've wronged them, you go back and make that part right. The part that you messed up, you go back and make that right. You go to that person. You apologize. You need to pay something. You need to recompense for some things. Well, then do it. Well, they never would have done it for me. I'm not talking about that. Because it's all about my relationship with Him. And I'm not going to let the relationship between you and me stand between my relationship with Him. I'm not going to let my pride stand in the way of my relationship with Him. If I had to come on my knees and beg you to forgive me, even though I did one thing and you've done 100 to me, I'm going to get that right so I can be right with Him. We wonder why we're not seeing a blessing, but we've been doing our own little thing. And it happens behind the house door or at the family reunion with Aunt so-and-so and Uncle. And that's where a lot of it happens, and we think, well, God doesn't see it. That doesn't count. I don't see that in the Bible. It counts. You've been patient. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, speak. These are practical things, and sometimes we wish we had a good answer. We wish we'd have a good ending. And sometimes we're just not going to have a good ending, except the fact is when it's all said and done and we stand before you and you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's sad to think that, you know, that some other folks will come along and get on the board, but I'm not going to, Lord, we can't wait around for them we sometimes just need to move on and do right. Lord, bless our folks. Give them wisdom, understanding, direction. And we're coming up to a holiday season. We're going to be with a lot of people. And Lord, we need to do right, kindly, live peaceably with every ounce within us, live peaceably among all men, if at all possible. But Lord, let the peace be on our side. If there's anything contrary to that or any contention, let it only be on the side of others so we may be right with you. Heads are bowed and